From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest this week is not your typical electronic artist. Nick Koenig has been living and working in New York for some time now. While attending film school, Koenig used his wide variety of musical abilities to create samples for hip-hop artists out of everything from car alarms to broken toys to old men snoring. Now, as Hot Sugar, Koenig has selected just 10 of his hundreds of finished tracks for an EP he calls Muscle Milk. This latest batch of milk features guest spots from underground hip-hop sensations and some of the catchiest lo-fi dance beats you'll ever hear. The album comes out January 26th. Let's get the personal bits out of the way. Tell me about where you grew up, what kind of music turned you on as a kid, that kind of thing.
I grew up a couple of places, New York, New Jersey, and Paris. And I listened to a lot of Ace of Base when I was growing up.
As we all did.
And when I got older, that's pretty much, I can't think of anything else.
Well, that's the important stuff. You're a multi-instrumentalist. Tell me, what did you pick up first? What weapons are all in your arsenal?
I guess, like most kids, my parents made me do piano lessons because that's like the default intro instrument.
Sure.
And obviously, like most kids, like I hated it for pretty much until my parents told me I could quit. And then I felt like I would miss it if I did quit. So then that's when I started liking it.
I think your experience is shared by musicians absolutely everywhere.
So, yeah. And then I picked up the guitar, then the piccolo. Then it just went haywire from there.
Well, you got the piano, the guitar, and the piccolo. I think that's the trifecta, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, do you remember being hip to electronic music? Was it a singular type of experience, or did it just slowly happen over the period of years?
No, it definitely... I still don't think I'm hip to it, to tell you the truth. I don't look at my music as electronic music, not that it might not be. It's just I try to use electronic tools for my music, but I don't make like specific genre stuff, or I don't aim to make it electronic, you know.
Do you remember your first experience with it, though? Hearing pop beats, or maybe somebody threw some Chemical Brothers on an old Casio cassette player?
No, I mean, I had Casios and I had all those instruments way before I even listened to any of that stuff. I only listened to rap growing up. I was kind of joking about the Ace of Base thing. Well, I mean, I wasn't joking, but
half joking.
So yeah, I mean, I just wanted to make rap beats when I was growing up, but I didn't have like an MPC. I just had like Casios and Yamaha Portasound stuff. So I would just try to make stuff out of that, you know.
Well, there's a great Vimeo clip that sort of pulls back the curtain a bit on your sampling techniques. Can you tell me about why it is that you choose not to use more or less straightforward samples for your tracks?
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, it's probably some type of self-criticism. Like, I don't want to use the same sample twice. I get bored of it really quickly. And, I don't know where it came from, but it's just more fun that way.
So obviously when you were younger and first deciding, oh, I want to make beats, it was sampling out of necessity these strange, odd
totally.
Sounds because you didn't have a drum machine.
That's the thing. I never saw it as weird. Like, I didn't have a drum machine. I didn't have the only drum. Like, I would take a CD case and put a piece of paper, open it up, put a piece of paper in it, close it, and put it on a loose tom drum that I found. It was a broken tom. So I put the CD on that. And then I would, with like a homemade drumstick, smash the whole tom CD case combo, and it would make some sound that almost sounded like a snare, and that was good enough for me for my early music. So it's just stuff like that. As long as it sounded like it could be a snare, then it was to me.
We'll be right back. Fuckable, featuring Bagdaddy from Hot Sugar's new EP, Muscle Milk.
Now, not to make you feel bad or anything, but you didn't have exactly the normal ascension into electronic music prowess. You didn't somehow weasel your way into this really important set at this great nightclub and spin some of the hottest tunes. I mean, how on earth did people in the music industry get a hold of you and your music? How did they even find out about you?
That's the thing. For a while, I was just making, because I do play several instruments, I would spend my time doing samples for other people. So I was pretty much just helping other people out. And if they couldn't clear a sample, like hip-hop producers or whatever, I would help them out and clear it for them. And by clearing it, not legally, but I would just re-record it, and they could sample me. And so, I mean, I'm not sure what happened. I'm the wrong person to ask.
Who were you making beats for? And what age is this, and where are you at the time?
I was in New York City, and it was for all types of people.
How are you even becoming known in this circle? Were you just the guy to go to in sort of an indie hip-hop scene, maybe?
Yeah, I guess
this guy will make odd beats for you?
I wasn't making beats at that point. I was making them for myself, and I always was. But I was just doing samples, if anything. Like, the majority of my career so far was just making a sample that someone would look at and then either chop up, or they would respect me for making samples, and then they'd listen to my beats, and then it just took off from there.
That's wild. So you mentioned earlier you don't even consider yourself a part of, say, electronic dance music. Where do you feel you fit in genre-wise? Are you just an independent act, or if somebody has to put you on a bill, what do they bill you as?
I don't know. That's not my problem, really. I don't want to be restricted to one genre. I think that harms an artist.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let your managers, let your agents worry about that kind of thing, right?
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong, you're still in school, or you recently finished up with school?
Yeah, graduated.
What were you studying?
Film.
Okay, and that sort of leads me into Ice Queen. I want you to tell me about it. Instead of producing a track and then filming an accompanying video, you went backwards. Tell me about that process.
I was working with a guy named JD Amato at the time, who's a brilliant video artist, and we wanted to play with green screens and directing actors, because a lot of people are eager to act. So we got a bunch of people off Craigslist and other casting agencies, and we told them to come to dance for a music video, and they didn't know anything about it. So they came to this room where we had a really serious atmosphere. And we had them stand in front of a green screen, and with absolutely no music, we gave them really outrageous commands, but with a straight face. And a lot of them, under pressure, did these really bizarre dances, and it was just awkward. The awkwardness was there for 8 hours straight while we were filming it. And, I mean, some people really gave a once-in-a-lifetime performance. Oh, and then from that, I was inspired by their dance moves and made a beat.
So you spliced together all their dance moves.
Yeah,
and then from that, it was completely, you know, arbitrary. There was no even music in the studio.
I mean, it was like spliced to a rough tempo, you know, so that the tempo could sync up. But other than that, I made the song afterwards.
And how did the actual awkwardness of the dance moves and the just, I mean, looking at it with the sound off, it's almost creepy. And I imagine these people that found you on Craigslist were probably creeped out likewise.
No, well, yeah, but they were also, they were really creepy themselves. A lot of it we had to cut out because some of the people were a bit too outrageous.
Oh, man. Yeah. So that sort of, I guess, informed the backing music to it that sort of became part of the process?
Well, I mean, that was also me. I played with a bunch of broken toys that had weird circuit bend conditions. Like, the main sample that you hear that sounds like some weird synth going crazy is a Furby, a half-dying Furby that's speaking even more gibberish than it, you know, they normally speak. But so I just chopped up a Furby riff and a couple of other dying toys and made a beat out of that.
Did your dancers ever get a chance to see the finished project?
They love it. They all wanted to be part of my next project. So
that's fantastic. You've created yourself a following out of Craigslist weirdos.
Yep. We'll be right back.
Ice Queen from Hot Sugar right here on the UNS Podcast.
So let's discuss your upcoming EP, Muscle Milk.
Muscle Milk. Sorry.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Tell me about the inspirations you cultivated for the release. I'm hearing lots of funk, soul, and hip hop, but also some of that naughty playfulness, I guess your fans have come to expect. I'm getting strains of Marvin Gaye, Biz Markie, and maybe a little bit of Ween all at once.
Biz Markie. It's pretty much all Biz Markie.
Where were you coming from when you decided, well, I guess probably your label wanted this from you, but
it was I don't have a label or anything. I guess I've been recording, as I told you, for a while for other people and just playing my music for fans that I've cultivated through email chains only, and that's not really internet public or anything. So I decided I'd put together like 10 tracks and just put it out as Muscle Milk. I've been calling my tracks Muscle Milk since like 07. So there's a lot of loose Muscle Milk tracks around.
I'll just have to somehow tap into the old school viral marketing scheme from 15 years ago of maybe email and Usenet chains.
Yeah, well, that's really what it was. And it, I don't know how it got around, but it got to some people, and I just send it to like two people on an email.
What were you listening to when you were creating this latest batch of Muscle Milk?
As many things as I can. That's why I don't want to genre-fy myself, because one day I'll just be listening to Cambodian pop from the 70s, and the other day I'll be listening to Biz Markie all day.
Tell me about the guests showing up on the release. So far, we've got an Aaron Livingston and a Baghdaddy.
Those are my
names.
Dudes. They're huge names to me. Baghdaddy's definitely doing his thing. He's going to come out pretty strong soon. We're working on that. And Aaron is a huge name on the underground. He's worked on that awesome Roots track from Tipping Point. He's worked with a bunch of other people. And he's got one of the probably my favorite voice out there right now. And I guess I could take this time and say that I'm doing a whole album with Aaron right now, and that's my next project coming out soon. Oh, sorry.
This is a transition. He's the incomparable, fantastic, outspoken member of the crew. He's had a lot of drinks with him. But he's still generally coherent.
Of yesteryear, they're here. I slowly trace this trail of tears. Unidentified next of kin. Feels like I'm caving in. Lord, why?
Color Wars from Hot Sugar featuring Aaron Livingston. Let's wrap up the interview.
Do you have a plan to maybe make the tunes more or less big and symphonic and club tunes, or is it you know, this is the sound you've got and that's the fan base that you're attacking?
No, I mean, if you once you hear Muscle Milk, you'll see there's like a bunch of different styles, and ideally I want to keep diversifying the styles. I mean, I have at least 700 recorded finished tracks here, and Muscle Milk's just 10 of them. So if I had my way, I would just keep putting out 10 track albums for the remainder of the year every month, but we're going to figure out how to release it.
Do you play out a lot? You're not a sort of DJ in the typical sense, but I mean, what's your live show like?
Yeah, that's the thing. I played live with a bunch of people, but I haven't done any live Hot Sugar things yet. Muscle Milk hasn't even come out yet, to be honest. So
sure.
I'm surprised that there's already so much interest when only like 3 or 4 tracks have come out.
Hey, you've somehow broken this new school viral marketing scheme, I guess.
Yeah, sorry.
I love the beat and then the apology.
Put that cookie down!
Go on.
What do you imagine the Hot Sugar Live set to be? Would it just be you and a bunch of circuit bank keyboards and dying Furbies, or do you want it to be like a full live band sort of experience?
A little bit of both. Like, I don't know. I don't really like playing live.
Is your sound just studio? I mean, is that your passion, just to be in the studio?
Well, I mean, it definitely is my passion, but no, I'm going to be playing live hopefully this year. So I guess come by and check it out. Obviously, it'd be hard to have 12 Furbies singing in unison. Most of the tracks on Muscle Milk have like 40 to 50 simultaneous things going on. So I doubt I can hire that many people. If even just one other person would be hard. So we'll see what happens. But I'll just play drum machines and Arnold samples the whole time.
I think people would be interested in that.
Yep.
So before we leave, you wanna kick us down a nice groove for the Unz podcast, an exclusive?
A groove? Like what?
Anything your heart desires.
You guys, and you want me to insert a track right now?
No, not necessarily. If you've got your key set up, then hit it.
No!
That was great.
Oh, thank you.
You're being very modest, you know?
Oh, that was... I just sat on my keyboard right there.
If that's the key to success, I'm going to get me a Casio too.
Yeah, you should.
All right, well, yeah, Nick, thank you so much for being on the Unz podcast.
Well, thank you, the Unz.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's Unz podcast. Special thanks go to Kabir Malhotra with Girly Action Media, and of course, my guest, Nick Koenig. We started off the podcast and are ending it with The Seagull from the new Hot Sugar EP Muscle Milk, set to drop January 26th. Visit theunz.com to listen to a vintage Hot Sugar track, Texas Radio, from Nick Koenig's short film Strawberry Banana, and another preview track from the EP, Don't Cut Down My Tree. Coming up next week, multi-instrumentalist, mid- and down-tempo prodigy Emancipator will be featured on the Unz podcast. Emancipator is about to embark on a massive tour with Blockhead beginning January 25th. Remember to visit theunz.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. There are also some great contests at theunz.com. You can win tickets to see Anasia, Elliot Lip, Datsik, or win an autographed CD from BT. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, or you'd like to be a guest on the Unz podcast, contact me at anand@theunz.com. That's ANAND @theunz.com. Catch you next week.